Our hearing is not a simple static thing, it seems. New research from the Hearing Research Centre at Macquarie University shows that we unconsciously learn how to make out speech even in difficult spaces. David McAlpine is Distinguished Professor of Hearing, Language and the Brain and Academic Director of Macquarie University Hearing. He joins us on the Thursday Daily Now to talk about this research. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Cameron. Very well.
So we naturally think of some spaces as really hard to hear in. So what are some examples and what are the challenges in listening to something in those noisy environments?
Well, a good example, and maybe your listeners are all thinking about it at the moment, is a mid-century modern restaurant in Sydney with concrete walls, concrete floors, and lots of people.
That's the absolute challenge.
And that's actually a situation where most people find it difficult. But in fact, our brains are actually set up to extract information from those spaces and to learn those spaces in order to do it. And that's what we've been investigating.
So you set out to explore how echoes in those awkward settings actually affect our ability to hear well. So how did you go about testing this?
Well, we've always known that echoes actually impair your ability to hear in certain circumstances. But really, we're looking to see how we learn those echoes and use the information that our brain finds out about the space itself in order to make speech understanding easier. And there's been some hints this has been the case for a while. So what we did was to recreate lots of different echoey spaces: underground car park, your living room, an open plan office, for example, and put in some noise and a talker or a speaker in that situation, and ask people to report back what they were hearing when that talker was saying words. And they had to report back something like the words blue and two in the phrase, ready, Baron, go to blue two now. It's a sort of a standard way of assessing people's hearing. So they're really in a room or in a simulated room that has lots of different types of echoes, and we're trying to find out how well you can learn the echo, learn the room acoustic in order to make the speech understanding better. And of course, that would help you on a Friday night at the mid-century restaurant.
Yeah, and there was a bit of a surprise in your findings, right? So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, there was a Goldilocks perspective to this. What I mean by that is there's a sweet spot for reverberation or echo. So when you have no echoes, then that's called anechoic. There's no echo in the room, and that's quite a special space. And when you have lots of echoes, like an underground car park, that's a very difficult listening situation. But it turned out that the best place for learning the space and learning this speech in background noise was at a mid-range of echoes, the sort of echo amount of reverberation, as we call it, that you might find in a standard city environment. It's about half a second of reverberation time, how long it takes for that sound to decay away. And that seems to be a sweet spot. You do your best learning of a room acoustic or a room reverb, and therefore your best learning of speech, understanding speech, in that sort of space. More reverb or less reverb, you actually do less well.
Okay, so when you say learning the space, learning reverb, can you just describe what you mean by that?
Well, what we mean is that in a setting where you have a room with walls or sound energy coming off it, and you don't normally hear that sound energy, you feel the room in a sense. And if you put people in there and there's background noise and you're trying to listen to someone, the question is, are you able to learn what the, if you like, the acoustic properties of that space are, the walls essentially, and to leverage or help you understand speech and noise? You don't necessarily hear the room reverb, you hear its effect on the noise around you and the speech you're trying to understand. And so when you swap out different rooms for people doing that, you find that some rooms are better spaces for actually understanding speech or learning speech in background noise. And so you can't really test whether people have that preference for a room without actually having them do something in that room. And for us, making them understand speech is such a natural human thing to do that when you do that, you find that some rooms are better for learning that talker's voice, but also learning the room reverb in order to leverage that information. Your brain is essentially doing it in the background while you're trying to understand the speech.
Right. And do we know why certain types of rooms, like you've described, that city space is better for learning speech and for the brain to pick that up than other spaces?
That's a $1 million question, actually, because it turns out that sweet spot looks very much like what our co-authors on this study measured in, it was in Boston actually, lots of maybe 200, 300 different street scenes and indoor scenes. And the sweet spot is around the place that we've actually built our environments, or our brains are adapted to those environments, or we've learned them over our life. So it's very strange. We don't know why that's the case. It might be that we've just built environments that don't sound or give us a bad perspective for listening. I mean, most places don't sound like an underground car park. And when you're in an underground car park, it's really hard to listen. So we've built our spaces to adapt to our brain, maybe. Or as we've grown up, we've adapted to those spaces we live in. We don't know the answer to that question yet.
And so how can you apply some of these results that you found? Is there some technologies that can benefit from the research that you've done here?
I think there are two main benefits to think about here. One is for people who have a hearing impairment. A lot of the technologies try to remove the background noise or have beam forming so that you can listen to a talker. And it turns out that maybe some of that reverb that's been got rid of might actually be useful in the long term for getting them to learn the space they're in when they're at a party or at a pub or in a social setting. But it's also the case that if you look at AI and we think about what AI is doing for trying to understand a room of talkers, that's not how our brains work. Our brains listen to one person and everything else is noise. And if you throw away the noise and throw away the reverberation, you might be throwing away the type of information that's actually really useful for understanding. And of course, that's not where technology is at the moment. Our brains really are very clever at doing this sort of task.
Could you maybe find a way to help me hear people in the mid-century modern wrestling with concrete walls and concrete ceilings so we can have an actual conversation?
Well, the best way to do that is not to have a misspent youth where you've damaged your hearing in the first place.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is a good point. We've made those spaces so it's difficult to hear, and they're more like an underground car park than they are like your living room. So softer furnishings and something on the walls, like paintings or maybe even some carpet, really do help you understand speech and background noise.
There you go. Unfortunately, David, we're all out of time, but thank you so much for joining me this morning. That was a very interesting chat.
Thanks very much, Cameron.
That was David McAlpine, Distinguished Professor of Hearing, Language and the Brain and Academic Director of Macquarie University Hearing, chatting about how we learn to listen in noisy spaces that can actually help us tune in better to what we want to hear.